Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
So the White House has been loudly and proudly proclaiming for months now that this bipartisan infrastructure deal, even before it was written, was going to do something really big with regard to the nation's lead drinking water pipes. What is that claim?
Yeah, so President Biden has been promising for months now that the infrastructure deal, the bipartisan deal, would fully remove lead from the nation's drinking water systems.
Every single American child at home or in school will soon be able to turn on that faucet and their moms and dads know that water they're drinking is clean and safe.
All of the lead pipes that we estimate, EPA estimates that it's 6 to 10 million buried below the ground in cities and communities across the country, that every single one of those would be replaced. And he has been touting this as, you know, both protection for communities, especially children. And so he's been promising it would be a win for them as well as for the nation's blue collar workers who would be put to work doing this. So the White House had estimated that this would take $45 billion, and that was in his American Jobs plan. And he's been, you know, that is what he's been calling for to do it.
I'm Anthony Adragna, and this is Politico Energy. And today, Annie Snyder on the fight against lead pipes that the White House won't meet. It's Wednesday, August 4th.
So it's important to know that everything here is an estimate because most water utilities around the country haven't even done an inventory. They don't have maps to know what lines are where and what materials they're made of. And it's important to know that the materials that matter are not just in the sort of central water mains that the water utilities have a lot of control over, but also the lead service lines that connect individual homes to that main line. And so the numbers of how many lines are out there are really all estimates, and they could be significantly off. But the drinking water utility industry estimates that it's going to take more than that $45 billion that the White House has been calling for, that it would take at least $60 billion.
And that brings us to what has been agreed to in this bill. You and I have been chasing down various members over the past week, trying to figure out how the math works, and you couldn't do it.
So it's our understanding that none of the water grants that were in the EPW bill are actually part of this bipartisan agreement. Is that your understanding as well?
The authorizations are there, but not the funding.
Okay.
To make the assertion that all will be replaced, I think, is pretty aggressive.
Yes, I think it'll go a long way towards it. We'll get every single one at every single tap. Maybe not, but...
Yeah. What is included in this bill?
So the bipartisan deal that was unveiled Sunday night includes $15 billion specifically for lead line removal or projects related to lead line removal. So that is obviously a third of what the White House had initially called for, and, you know, even less than what industry thinks it would take. But there's also some important details in that. That $15 billion is not just money handed over to do the projects. 49% of it would be given out as basically forgivable loans, but the other 51% would be part of EPA's sort of general loan program for drinking water utilities. That doesn't sound like what the White House had been promising. I think a lot of folks had expected that every lead service line would be replaced and that the government would be paying for it.
In terms of the path forward here, do you think any of this could change? Is there a chance that there's going to be a renewed push in reconciliation?
I mean, I think it's a good question. Certainly, advocates are hoping that what we're seeing in this bill is just a down payment on additional funding that could come as part of a second Democrat-only bill. However, I think there is good reason to question whether or not that is going to be a top target for Democrats in that bill. You know, folks in the environmental arena are really focused on climate change and addressing climate change in that second bill. And then you've got the fact that the White House is saying that this bipartisan bill is solving the problem. So what does that do to the political impetus, the political power in sort of trying to do more in that second bill on this issue? I think it remains to be seen, though. Public health advocates absolutely say that full funding is, you know, is essential to being able to get this done. But they also say that, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's going to come down to individual communities' decisions about where and when to do projects. Some communities, you know, may not make this a priority, and individual communities may not even know that they have a problem, right? Because there aren't great maps out there historically. And so for that reason, a lot of public health advocates say that there really needs to be a regulatory stick here as well. And the Trump administration had updated updated the Safe Drinking Water Act rule governing lead in drinking water systems, did not require lead lines to be replaced. And a lot of public health advocates are targeting that regulation for review and overhaul by the Biden administration. So I think that is an important piece to this as well.
Late on Monday, the White House doubled down on its claim that the infrastructure bill will fully fund lead replacement in the country, saying that the bill includes an additional $11 billion for general drinking water funding that could be put toward lead removal. Still, the total amount indicated in the administration's response to Annie sticks to the $26 billion figure and does not address the fact that it is still far short of the full price tag set out by the administration or other agencies. Also, the Biden administration is hitting the brakes on oil production at the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge once more. Yesterday, the Interior Department announced it would start a new environmental review of the impacts fossil fuel drilling would have on Alaska's coastal plain, a process that could lead to changes on the lease sales at ANWR and across the state. The review comes after critics had flagged considerable legal flaws in the lease sale that the Trump administration carried out right before the presidential transition. Although the lease sales at ANWR are mandated by Congress, the Interior Department could use the review to change the areas it would open for leasing and considerably reshape the kinds of projects that would be approved to operate. In the announcement, Interior said the full review could take about a year and a half. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you like our show, then like it. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show. Some of the music in today's show came from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Andragna, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.